former Daily Show host Jon Stewart advocated for the 9/11 Victims Compensation Fund. Now, he says military members should not have to jump through hoops to get disability benefits when they were exposed to toxic fumes while serving their country.
Our veterans lived 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, next to toxic smoke, dioxins, everything. And now they're being told, hey man, is that stuff bad for you? I don't know. We don't have the science. It's bullshit. It's bullshit. It's about money. And we're here today to say we're not going to let this happen in the dark.
Stewart joined lawmakers and military veteran groups in Washington, D.C. today to push for legislation to make it easier for veterans to get disability benefits for diseases linked to burn pits. Tens of thousands of service members in recent conflicts overseas have been exposed to toxic fumes at burn pits that the military uses to get rid of garbage. They say the fumes gave them cancer and other respiratory diseases, but the Department of Veterans Affairs has denied their claims, saying there's not enough evidence to link long-term health problems with burn pit exposure.
This is C-19, WSHU's daily news update from the Connecticut, New York region.
Coming up, a tiny increase for health insurance, some New Haven students will return to the classroom, and how body cameras turned out. I'm Charles Lane.
And I'm Desiree DiOrio.
Health insurance companies in Connecticut demanded steep rate increases amid the pandemic. Instead, State Insurance Commissioner Andrew Mays kept the 2021 insurance premium increase to a minimum. Companies requested an increase of over 6% for individual insurance plans. They were given 0.01%. State Senator Matt Lesser chairs the legislature's insurance committee. He says that will keep policies affordable for residents.
The fact that so many people lost their health insurance or in the process of losing their health insurance because of the economy, I think just underscores the need for us to get on this issue. A pandemic is no time for people to go without health insurance.
But Lesser says more needs to be done to curtail premium costs. States like New Jersey and Massachusetts have expanded the Federal Affordable Care Act to control insurance prices and reform the industry.
The New Haven School Board in Connecticut voted this week to reopen some schools to serve 125 special needs students starting on Monday. WSHU's Cassandra Basler reports.
The school board voted last month to offer virtual instruction through the first marking period because officials were concerned about cleaning, supplies, and COVID-19 safety. The same board voted on Monday to reopen 11 schools so that a select group of special education students could resume in-person instruction. The board plans to stagger schedules so some students will only attend 2 days a week for half days. Only 3 to 5 students would be in the classroom at a time. The 125 students who will attend have autism or other education needs like English language learning. There are more than 3,000 students with special needs in the district. Cassandra Basler, WSHU News.
Coming up, a chat with the ACLU of Connecticut, but first, these headlines.
Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer and Senator Kirsten Gillibrand have asked President Trump to issue a major disaster declaration for their home state of New York following Tropical Storm Isaias last month. They say FEMA should continue to assess for damage in several counties. On Long Island, nearly $48 million in state and local costs were identified for infrastructure repair and debris removal in Nassau and Suffolk counties. A declaration from Trump could allow the counties to access more federal disaster relief funding.
Connecticut Governor Ned Lamont has pushed back on calls for lawmakers to immediately consider changes to the police accountability bill he signed into law this summer. Senate Republican leader Len Fasano has urged lawmakers and Democratic legislative leaders to consider changes to the new law in a special legislative session this month. State Police Union claims sections of the law violates their contract with the state.
This year's summer training at the Coast Guard Academy in New London, Connecticut, had the highest retention rate in the past few years. New protocols for the new cadets, called swabs, included shorter weeks and no shouting orders from upperclassmen. Only 9 out of 265 cadets did not finish the training this summer, compared to a usual 15. The Day of New London reports still, Academy officials say the toned-down start has helped the new cadets adjust to military life. The Superintendent Rear Admiral Bill Kelly says he has directed Academy officials to make some of the changes permanent.
Yesterday, we heard from the Suffolk County Police Benevolent Association regarding bringing body cameras to Long Island. Now, we want to hear what happened in Connecticut. Melvin Medina is Policy Director for the American Civil Liberties Union in Connecticut. Welcome, Melvin.
Oh, thanks for having me. I'm happy to be here.
Suffolk and Nassau counties are considering equipping their officers right now with body cameras. And I'm wondering, how common are body cameras in Connecticut?
They're becoming fairly common now. I'd say about, I think now 3 or 4 years ago, our state passed a law aiming towards transparency and accountability that provides state bonding dollars to encourage police departments to take on the costs of body cameras. And since that law had passed, which I should note, police officers and police unions in Connecticut actively fought that law. Since then, they've actually benefited with a variety of police departments in Connecticut making use of those funds and taking on body cameras. In this latest conversation of a bill related to police accountability in Connecticut that recently passed, HB 6004, police officers and police unions actually looked back fondly on the passage of that bill and said they actually did appreciate having body cameras. And the idea of police departments taking on body cameras in Connecticut is fairly unanimous at this point, though there exist concerns in terms of cost at the municipal level. But generally, I would say body cameras in Connecticut are becoming common and mainstream. And actually what we see is what we always see with police accountability bills. We bring new ideas to the legislature, police fight it, and then years following after the bill's passed, they all unanimously agree that it was a good idea.
That's interesting. So at first police didn't want it, but now they're seeing actual benefits from it in terms of cost and also what other objections did they have initially?
Originally, objections landed on costs. So costs in terms of taking the initial purchase of body cameras, and then secondarily, the cost of data management. And then additionally, other concerns were on the necessity to review footage. So if you're recording every interaction that a police officer has with the public, someone needs to be able to review that footage, especially when attorneys in criminal cases or civil cases are making requests to see the footage for the purposes of their case. And so those two reasons, although that latter reason, I should note, was a complaint by prosecutors in our state, not necessarily police themselves, those two reasons, cost and feasibility of managing so much video, were the reasons that had been given back in 2015 as to why Connecticut should not force police departments to have police body cameras. Now, what I'll say, and recently we passed a fairly controversial police accountability bill here in Connecticut that did a variety of things, one of them mandating police body cameras for state police. What I'll note is, in the discussion of that bill, police unions articulated opposition to a variety of areas within that bill. The one area that we did not see opposition was on the issue of body cameras. Over the course of 3 to 4 years, it seems that the idea of increased transparency and accountability is not so radical after all. And as I understand it, some police officers actually see a benefit to having their interactions with the public recorded because it seems to change everyone's nature during interactions when people know a body camera's on.
So let's take this issue of body cameras. And the police union initially fought it. And how did it get passed then into law if this professional organization tried to stop it and voters have, let's say, an impermanent memory to these things come November?
Well, I think a couple of things are happening here, right? The legislature is a creature of itself. Legislators are endowed with the responsibility of ensuring the general public is safe. And so when they engage in passing new laws, it's with an eye towards creating a safer and fairer Connecticut. And it is not the case that police have a monopoly on what it means to make communities safer. And the conversation around police body cameras in that year, in 2015, came on the cusp of police murders in Connecticut. There were some high-profile police killings that resulted in a fairly large omnibus police accountability bill. And I think the kind of crux of the issue was, as much as it matters to ensure that we have professional standards that keep police officers safe, it is equally, if not more important, to also pass laws and implement policies that keep the public safe from police.
Melvin Medina, Public Policy and Advocacy Director for the American Civil Liberties Union of Connecticut. Thank you so much for your time.
I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
For the latest news from Long Island and Connecticut, you can listen on the radio or online at WSHU.org.
Thanks for listening, and thanks for supporting local news on WSHU Public Radio.
I'm Desiree DiOrio.
And I'm Charles Lane. We'll be back tomorrow.